This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stack some chips up. No fear of missing out. I'd rather dip and flip. What? Now pump it up and double up is what we hit. What? 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 This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stack some chips up. No fear of missing out. I'd rather dip and flip. What? Now pump it up and double up is what we hit. What?
Welcome, Powders, to our 21ism celebration of our favourite people in the space. We like every month to celebrate our favourite designer, and this month is BTC Pins. We've been absolutely loving the work that you've been doing for some time, and when it came up and we were discussing different options and yours came up, it was just unanimous. Everyone was really excited to have this one and the work that you have done for us. I haven't had one in my hand yet, but I've seen pictures and I'm very, very excited. So welcome to the show and welcome to 21ism.
Hey, thanks, Max. Really happy to be doing this with you guys. I've been talking to Batters for a while, and we were just really stoked to make that the pin from the comic book. It was really fun to make.
It's so cool. Yeah, really exciting. And our 21ism badge that you've made alongside it as well, really, really cool. It's exciting to see these things really take shape and sort of want, you know, everything that we're seeing is often on a screen. And once you see these things like in real life and they come to life, it's incredible. It looks awesome.
Yeah. I'm not sure who exactly on the team drew that though. Was it self-banked or one of the other guys that actually originally designed the comic?
No, that was none of us. That was the name escapes me now. I should know this, but I haven't got my Twitter open. But he designed it. The artist designed it with self-banked, and yeah, did all of those drawings. It's so cool.
It's really awesome. I've read the comic. And I wanted the pin set to look like the cover of the comic, so that's why I put the the guy there with the same background, and then put the badge on the top to make it like, is it like a title to the comic? So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, like you say, the packaging as well, just it works really, really well, and we're so pleased with it. I'm, like I say, I'm just desperate to get one in my hands now. It was
Batter should have it next week, hopefully.
Yes. So we'll see about him sending them over. We're all dotted around, Europe. So I'll have to wait a little bit of time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to getting one in my hands. It was just so everyone knows who's listening now. It was JC Sketches who did the drawings for that one.
Okay. Yeah, I think he was doing some beer labels with Batters too for some beer festival. Those ones look pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, really talented guy, and that graphic novel is incredible. It's beautiful imagery, and such a great story as well. I don't know if you've had a chance to read through it, but
it goes through like a few different like time periods where it shows like, was it like the collapse of like financial stuff in the background of the Are they going to do another issue of it?
I don't know. I'm seeing self-banked tomorrow. We're doing a bit of a meetup tomorrow. So I'll ask him actually. I hope so, because it was really something special. And I remember when it first came out, it was before I was involved in 21ism, and I was speaking to him in the background anyway. And that came out, and I was like, this is just so different. This was something really that grabbed my attention. So I really hope they will do another one.
Yeah, I'm excited for more of those. I saw that, was it Boltardia did one too? A comic?
Yes. Yeah, incredible work.
I didn't get that one. I think it sold out.
Yeah, but again, just like stunning design. And that's what's amazing about this space. Like, it's something that's really pushing 21ism to do what we're doing, is there's so many incredible artists, designers, musicians, devs, like people who are just, they're pouring their creativity into this space in so many different ways. And we sort of, I think as a group, we were like, well, a lot of what is being celebrated, and it should be, is the dev work and, you know, making Bitcoin work and pushing this stuff forward. But as well, there's so much incredible work happening from designers and artists and everything else. And we thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool to have a platform where we can show some of this work and really celebrate it? And, you know, it's been the best thing that I've been involved in since getting involved in Bitcoin. It's just been so exciting to see all of this stuff. And we've been so lucky to have people say, yes, we, you know, we'd like to show our work through you guys. And we've been blown away with the amount of talent that's actually been interested in coming on and speaking to us. And that goes for you as well. We've all been admiring your work for a long time, and it's fucking awesome. So how did you start doing it? Like you said to me before we actually jumped in and started recording, you said you've been in the space for some time. I don't want to dox you too much, so give away as much as you would like to. But okay. How did it come about?
Well, the pins part, I just decided this summer to start making pins. I hadn't done it before, but I wanted to make something Bitcoin related. And I've been into pins. I have like a collection of enamel pins. Just like a lot of pop culture, movie, 80s stuff. My wife's into pins, like my kids like them. So I wanted to just make something that would be fun to sell and that I could work with other Bitcoiners on. That's mainly why I'm doing it now. Like after doing that collaboration with CryptoCloaks, I found that the only reason I make pins now is to fund collaborations with other Bitcoiners. So as long as they pay for themselves, I'm all good.
Hmm. And so was it something that you thought you were sort of drawn into this space anyway, and then you just wanted to be involved, you wanted to create, and this felt like the most natural thing that you already had an interest in then?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've been into Bitcoin since early 2013, but it didn't click in my brain. I don't think my brain got rewired until 2017. It's kind of when a lot of other people had their brain rewired. I kind of been lurking around, not really participating too much, but I think I hit my limit of not being a part of this as a whole movement. So I went out on Twitter more. I decided to make a couple memes, and then like, I really just need to make something. And it just seemed to fall in with what I liked and what I was able to do. And I knew the process of how to get them made. So I started with making the orange pill pin, because that was a good meme. Good, simple design, first one to make. And then I reached out to Swan Bitcoin and to CoinKite. And they were happy to let me make pins of their stuff. And it just kind of took off from there once people seemed really excited about those.
So you were sort of lurking in the background for some time. And you said, you know, it got to the point where you just had to be involved. You had to contribute. Was that a decision that was difficult for you? Because, you know, a lot of us value our anonymity, and you know, the more you jump in, the more you do, the more you say, it's always a trade-off. Is it something that you had to think about for some time, and how did you approach it?
As far as, you know, the Anon stuff, I mean, I guess I didn't think about it too much. I tried to set everything up so that I could do it as anonymously as possible, but I still go to meetups and things like that. People know who I am. So I'm kind of halfway staying anonymous, but as far as online goes, yeah, none of it's online. And I don't want a digital footprint of myself, but I want to hang out with Bitcoiners. I'm not going to stay in my house all day.
Yeah, I find very much the same thing. Like, I lurked for a long time, and then I was just like, fuck, like, I just want to speak to these people because they're so interesting. You know, like,
Bitcoiners are some of the best people. They're the best people to hang out with.
It's so, and you know what's so interesting is like how different everyone is, like compared to what is normal, what is perceived as normal. You take Bitcoin Twitter, you take the people, you know, we get to speak to every day, and you plonk them in a room of normies, and like, we're the weirdos. But it's what's interesting is like everyone seems to have very similar it's sort of ethics and like a code of ethics and what's right and what's wrong and how we, I don't know, like how we go about life and like it's fine to be upfront and honest and like say what you want and be able to say fuck you to people who we don't agree with and just sort of wear your heart on your sleeve and be like your own person, which I find is missing from most of society. And it's so exciting to be around people like that because you're like, you get the real them. There's no mask, there's no bullshit. Like, it's just, this is me, this is what I love, this is the things I do. And like, you like it, great, we can be friends. If you don't like it, fuck off, go somewhere else. And it's a lot of fun. I love that.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, there's no other group of people I've ever been around that are like that. And it's great that all of us, we can just say what we think and people will call us out on our shit, but then we learn how we're wrong and are fine with that. And I've learned so much just talking with everybody. There was a lot of shit that I was wrong about before. And I didn't know, you know, things about, you know, economics or diet or just saving or having a family. Like, there's so much to be gained from just being around these amazing people.
Yeah, it's a great environment to push you to work harder, to push you to sort of do better, basically, which is very nice. Like, it's... everyone is very supportive. Yeah, people call you out on your shit. And if you're going to be an asshole, then people are going to call you out. But the fact that it is very much geared around, you know, low time preference, looking after your family, like being upfront, being honest, telling the truth, like all this kind of stuff, I think only makes you a better person. And I feel it makes people more at ease long term, like they're more comfortable in their own skin. And I think it makes for some incredible creativity because once you get to that point of like, do you know what? I don't actually care what anyone thinks. I'm my own person. And as long as the people around me that I love, you know, still love me and sort of I can make sure that I push forward my dreams and desires, then it doesn't matter. And that creates that allows creativity because you're not boxing yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah. Creative freedom is so huge with Bitcoiners. Like, people make whatever the hell they want. Like, it's a permissionless system. Like, make what you want, make what you love.
Which again is so different. It's so different to everything outside it. And I think there's so many reasons why we win. And like, maybe, you know, we were talking in the background before we jumped on here, but I've got a glass of bubbles in my hand. I'm celebrating. I'm bullish as fuck. I have been for a long time. And I think that the fact that we have this creativity, the fact that we have all the economic incentives, the fact that we have so many people who just work like beasts, that just create like I've never seen in any other space, we win. This wins. And it's the most exciting space in the world right now, if ever. And it's so exciting to be just part of it and to be seeing what's happening. And it blows me away every day. And I think, you know, I can see that from the work that you've been doing as well, that this is where your heart is. And I wonder is it something that you, before getting involved in Bitcoin, you said before 2017, where things really started to click for you, was it something that fit with your personality type prior to those things clicking? Like, were you already searching for something? Were you already feeling that things in the traditional system were not quite right? Or,
no,
or like, how did it?
I don't think so. Because I didn't really grasp what was happening. When I found Bitcoin, it was more a curiosity. Oh, there's this cool new technology. I'll play with it. So I lost money gambling with it. I've lost Bitcoin on premature wallet software that didn't have good backups. Like, that was fun to do. But no, up until I really learned about it, it was more just a curiosity. And then like, it was going up. So of course it was a great reward for just holding some, going through a few of those crazy markets, you know, up until it was 20,000. But before then I was, you know, DCAing a bit, and just kind of had it going on in the background because I had a couple kids, and that just took most of my focus kind of in between 2013 and 2015 and 16. I couldn't really focus too much on Bitcoin then, but when, you know, Lightning came out and the UASF happened, like that's when I started to really get psyched about it as a technology, especially Lightning. Lightning is amazing. It's like my favorite thing about Bitcoin. But after that, I just dove headfirst and learned as much as I could, read as much as I could. So I've been pretty much full time when I'm at work, working, pretending to work, learning about Bitcoin just every day.
It gets you, doesn't it? It gets you eventually. Can you remember that point? Like, can you remember a certain point where your head switched from like, okay, this is an investment, I've bought some and it's gone up in value and that's cool, to wow, this is something much bigger than I expected? Like, can you remember a moment or a couple of moments where it really, because you're saying like Lightning is something that you're particularly interested in and blows your mind. Was it something to do with that or something else?
Yeah, well, Lightning was like a switching off point for me, because after playing with it initially, I started to really understand how UTXOs worked. That was a great way to learn, you know, how Bitcoin actually worked and how it's secure, because you have to kind of get how you can take this channel and then sign transactions back and forth, and how no one can cheat each other. That really, really got me to wrap my head around how everything actually worked. It was a really good click point in my brain.
Yeah, it's sort of, until you sort of understand, at least to some degree, the like how the system works, it's very difficult to put trust in it. Because on the face of it, it sounds crazy. Like, you're like, how's this thing secure? Like, how could it possibly, what do you mean there's no trusted third party? Like, what, like, how am I not going to get cheated? How does this work? How, you know, and once you start to grasp that and you see what it's capable of, you know, I was saying earlier about it allows for creativity, the fact that you're not chained, the fact that you have this fuck you money, you have this thing that's like, this is mine and I can do what I want with it and all these things can be built on top of it. It gives you this freedom, and Lightning opens up so many different possibilities that just, I don't know if you've ever played around with the Sphinx chat and some of these things that have been coming out recently, but it blows my
Sphinx
mind.
Sphinx is awesome. I've used it a little bit, but it seems like it was kind of one of those things where it came out and everyone was really hyped about it, and mm-hmm. it's kind of, people aren't really using it quite as much. Mm-hmm. But I think price action kind of distracted everyone from Sphinx Chat. But I love that you can stream sats to podcasters. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a game changer. And I'm kind of thinking that maybe something happens with artists as well, you know, artists and designers and musicians and all this stuff, you know, people who traditionally maybe would use Patreon or one of these things. I see no reason that you can't effectively stream sats over weeks, months, days, however someone chooses to set it up. It's just having the user interface where people feel comfortable doing it. But it just allows for so much more that wasn't possible before. And Lightning is I try not to get too hyped. But
oh, why not?
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard, especially now. Like, have you noticed a difference? Are you like the weird Bitcoiner within your group of friends and family, like outside of Bitcoin Twitter? And if so, like, have you noticed a difference now that number go up?
You know, I am the Bitcoin kind of guy in my circle of friends. I mean, other than my new Bitcoin friends, but I've had a friend of mine, you know, my best friend, who forever ago, you know, we go out to the bar, settle the bill. I'm like, oh, how about I give you your $10 in Bitcoin? He's like, sure, fine. He puts on what his blockchain.info wallet, you know, back in the mm-hmm. day, and then forgets about it. And years later, or whatever, it was $100. You would have thought that would have clicked for him. That hey, this might be something I should look into more, but he just won't do it. I try to get him buy some Bitcoin, just get some, hold it, and he just won't. I don't know why. But there's another guy at work that I got him hooked on Fold, and mm-hmm. he loves the fact that he gets some Bitcoin just buying Chipotle, and he's bought some chunks, but he hasn't had his oh shit moment yet where he understands mm-hmm. why it's, you know, why it goes up, not just that because people are buying it, but for what it can do for everyone.
Do you think I'm cutting you off.
Oh no,
there.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you think that oh shit moment has anything to do with the creative streak? As in, I've noticed that the people that I've tried to explain this to, the people who it has twigged with, the people who have got excited about it, are generally people who have a bit of an imagination and think a little bit outside of the box, because it's hard to, you know, a couple of years ago, you're sitting and you're talking about streaming money and you're talking about, you know, hyper-Bitcoinization, you're talking about all these ideas that really were just ideas, and they're sort of edging towards being a little bit more mainstream now, but they are pretty crazy to the average person. Do you think that you have to have that creative mind to imagine it?
Well, I think you kind of do, because if you can't imagine that there is a solution, like first, if you can't see the problems going on, you need to be able to see those problems, but then also have the imagination to see what could fix them. Like if you don't think there's anything out there that can solve, you know, these horrible problems, what are you really, you're just going to go on, you know, you're doing your 9-to-5 and just trying to get by. You do need an imagination to see that there could be a solution and maybe think that Bitcoin might be that one.
Yeah, because what else is there? Like, this is something I struggle with a lot with people. It's like, you know, when you've been in a lot longer than me, but certainly when those things click, when you know, you're still talking about this aha moment, and like, I think all of us have several of these aha moments, and like, it's mind-blowing, like some of the stuff that goes through our heads, and then you try and explain it to someone who's not involved and with all this excitement and passion and generally you just get like this blank face of just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Shut up. I don't want to hear about it. Like, well, let me just like, tell
why
you.
Do I need
about
that?
Politics. Yeah.
Why do I need Bitcoin?
Yeah.
There's no problem.
It's going to fix the world. Trust me. It's going to be amazing. It's going to change everything. You've got no idea. Ah, and you're like, you're like this crazy person. They're just like, what are you doing selling me this Ponzi scheme? Like, just shut up.
Well, honestly, before Bitcoin, you would have said the same thing if they would have said that to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. 100%. Yeah, I thought it was a Ponzi scheme when I first got involved. Definitely, I was just like, no, this isn't like, because it is crazy. It is so different, and it's the first time that I've come across anything where it's a real solution. You know, I've spent a lot of time being annoyed about the world. I've spent a lot of time being frustrated with politics and the money and like seeing that there's a lot of corruption, seeing that there's a lot of lies and bullshit. And it's just very, very frustrating to see, but there's no solution. And all that actually happens if you get too into the politics and too into arguing about all these things is you waste a lot of energy because they're not real solutions. And so when you come across something that actually is a solution, and it's not a solution for like one thing, it's not just like, oh, you fix the money. Like the implications from that are so massive that it sounds like it's a fairy tale, I suppose. It sounds like, no, this is crazy. This is too big. This is too good to be true. And are you telling me that a group of like weirdos on the internet are right and like everyone else is wrong? And to think that you're right sounds arrogant, but I don't know. I think we are. I think it's going to change the world. I really do. And that's why we're all here, right?
So yeah.
That's why we're all lurking.
It's just a magic bullet that people don't understand how the magic works yet.
Yeah. And so when you think about that and you look into the future, which I'm sure you must do, you must think 5 years, 10 years out, 20 years out. You've already said you're a family man. What do you dream of? Like, what are you imagining in the future? And if you're imagining it, how are you working towards securing it and making sure that these things happen and that, you know, you look after what you've got? Because I do feel probably we're going to become targets and we're going to be the bad guys. That's the way it feels anyway.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm, you know, as far as how I looked into the future, I kind of look at my family. I'm doing this so they'll be secure, you know, when I'm gone. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm with the price action, of course, that's, you know, my family's going to be great because of all this. But as far as governments go, I mean, I don't think they're going to crack down just hard all at once. It's going to just erode away things like in the US here, Mnuchin's talking about doing some kind of reporting Munchin for us. Oh, fuck that guy. He wants us to report when we move funds off an exchange to what wallet it's going to, who owns that wallet. Like, how do you prove that? I mean, they haven't thought that through at all, but I'm not sure because the US has to compete against everywhere else. And if they do some stupid shit like that, it's just going to make people leave. And that's going to be bad. I don't know. It's just hard for me to tell what, you know, governments are going to do about it without shooting themselves in the foot, because this is the future. And if they screw it up, then they're actually going to be the ones that get hurt from it.
Yeah. I mean, from what you've just said there, they just sound so outclassed, so out of their depth. Just that, like trying to make a regulation around, okay, well, you have to register this wallet and then, oh, that will fix it. It's like, you do know that you can create infinite wallets and that you could then move it from that if it's in your custody. And there's this thing called CoinJoin and there's PayJoins and there's all this new technology. Like, how out of their depth are they? Because it just sounds like it's annoying. And yeah, fuck him and fuck everyone who's trying to, you know, mess around and like restrict us and do what they've always done. It's pathetic, but like it is almost laughable. Like, as annoying as it is almost laughable because it's so poorly planned.
It's an unenforceable regulation.
Yeah.
They just can't. I'm more concerned about what they're going to do to everyone else. Like Bitcoiners, we have our fuck you money that they can't do anything about, but there's everyone else that's getting their savings inflated away. I think we need to be more worried about them than what they do about us. Because there's going to be way more people hurt from that than if they decided to go after Bitcoin.
I agree. Yeah. And what do you think is going to happen for everyone else who doesn't get involved? Because, like, I think like the incentive structure is there that eventually everyone has to get involved. You have to play the game, and the only game in town is Bitcoin going forward.
But it'll be the only money left, so they're going to have to.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're going to enter later, obviously, after all the institutions, after all the big boys come in and all that sort of stuff. And none of us sat stacking hodlers, taco eating plebs are going to be selling. So those sats are going to become scarce. Like, I agree with you. I feel really shit for these people because I think most people, certainly that I see around me in the UK, they are very, very busy. They are very tired. They are very stressed, and life just gets harder. Their money gets inflated away and life gets harder. And I think a lot of them just don't have the time to even think about it. And when they do have the time, all they want to do is get pissed, get high, switch off, and just sleep because they're tired and they don't have a chance to spend thousands of hours to try and work out, you know, the history of money and go into Austrian economics and work out how this system works and why it's better. They just don't have that. Or maybe they have the possibility, but most of them won't take it. And where are they left? Like, what happens to them? And it's a good point. It's worrying.
Yeah, everyone's getting eroded away. But I think maybe the first iterations of citadels will be people and their families. You know, your extended families. You're going to have all these people that you love that when the shit goes down won't have any Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're probably going to be the one to help them. And your citadel is going to start. Your foundation of your citadel will be your family and your friends. Eventually, we'll get to the point where you have all these Bitcoiners in their citadels together. But it's going to be you taking care of your own and starting things back up again. And eventually, everyone will have Bitcoin from that point on.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But it will eventually end up as Bitcoin citadels. And I think what would be really nice and what I hope for is just somewhere with a nice climate. That's my main thing.
Like,
oh, no. have you spent any time in England?
No, I've been to France, though.
Okay, France is probably a bit nicer. Yeah, no, I've got no interest. Not in England. It's becoming quite authoritarian. It's pretty worrying. Like literally, as I speak to you, without doxing myself too much, if I was to, well, I can't go to a shop. I can't go to literally do anything. Like, I can't go and get my hair cut. I can't do anything. And I'm not allowed to go for Christmas with my family. So the family have to spend time, if they're single people, they've got to spend time alone at home for Christmas because some twat has decided that that's the best thing to do. And yeah. I would say that 90% of the UK love it. Like, they're like, yeah, that's brilliant. Like, they know what they're doing. They're always right. Let's listen to them. And they start grassing everyone else who stands up to it. So yeah, no, I have no interest in it. Like, I want to be in a country. I want to be around people who actually grow a pair, who can think for themselves. And if we have a nice climate as well, that'd be lovely.
Yeah. I'm here in California and you know, our governor is so shitty. Newsom. He's been, you know, trying to lock everyone down here, and it's painfully obvious how much of a hypocrite he is. But everyone mm-hmm. just is letting him. But luckily, we have sheriffs and some business owners that just ignore his bullshit. There's, you know, okay. we get to go to a couple places that just stay open regardless. But everything is still pretty locked down here too. They're not going to arrest anyone for going to Christmas with anybody. But it's still pretty bad.
Are you finding that there are more people waking up to the bullshit, like, or are more people going to sleep? I've never spent any time in California, but I always thought like California's like, it's quite an arty, like, interesting place, like, that people would sort of, I don't know, I always had this idea that people would be a bit more free-spirited.
It's the business owners that are fighting back a little more, because mm-hmm. they're just taking away their lives. They're making them poor. And at some point, they're going to not allow it. They're going to fight back. And it's starting to pick up a little bit here. There's lawsuits to try and overturn things. And there's some legislators that are suing the governor to get him to stop doing mandates. But no, it's not the normal people or the artists or anything like that that are speaking out against it. It's just people, hardworking people, that are fighting to get their lives and their jobs back.
Yeah, well, I'm glad someone's standing up. Do you have any sort of views on all that stuff? Like, I always find as a Bitcoiner, people tend to view most things through a different lens. Like, you've already mentioned that diet, you're viewing differently. And I saw on your Twitter earlier, basically all I could see was just like the most awesome steaks I've ever seen in my life. so clearly you're actually looking at things differently to what a doctor might tell you. Do you also view all of this stuff with the COVID and all this kind of thing as more than they're making out, or like, how are you seeing it from your end?
I mean, as far as the virus itself goes, I mean, I'm reading the same data that everyone else is. It seems like it's bad for some people and not bad for other people, and it's a contagious thing. But people need to be able to make up their own minds about what they want to do. Like, taking someone's business, shutting things down, making people stay home, making wear masks is against the law here, but they still do it. They because they can get away with it because no one will really fight them on it. But I'm all for personal responsibility and liberty. Let people decide for themselves. Tell them whatever you want to tell them. You can lie to us as much as you want about what you think this virus is, but you can't take away our freedom to just do what we want to do. As long as it doesn't harm someone else, just flat out, yeah. Like, you can't. Like, it makes yeah, this is like it, the first year I've been truly angry about things the government does. Like, before then, I was like, "Oh, that sucks. They're doing this and that." But this year is like the first year I've been really, really, really mad about all this stuff.
They've really stepped over the line with this stuff. Yeah.
They're taking people's lives away.
It's and the conspiracy theorist side of me really comes out here, because I'm like, before Bitcoin, before all this, I had this idea. I was like, they don't, especially here, they don't want small businesses. They don't want people who are entrepreneurial. They want everyone on what we call here PAYE, which is just like, you know, your 9-to-5 job, you get paid at the end of the month. They tax you before you get it, you know, done and dusted. They know exactly what you're earning and all the rest of it. And I look at this thing play out and I'm like, the big players do better, or at least they're fine. The smaller businesses and anyone who's trying to do anything entrepreneurial is fucked. They're already fucked by the regulations and now they're fucked by this. People can't go and work. People can't, you know, like you say, they're taking their freedoms away. And I'm just thinking, like, what happens at the end of this? Like, who's left? And all I see is just massive corporations and everyone else gets crushed. And like, it feels to me that it's just, it's too perfect that this thing comes at a time where the economies are already struggling, like everything is inevitably going to fail. And then there's this perfect thing to blame it on, close everything down, ruin everyone who's doing anything they don't want to do, put everyone into a little cubicle, put everyone onto, you know, chucking helicopter money at them and them thanking them. And it just seems too perfect. It seems too thought out. And as much as I believe there is some form of virus and it's hurting people, I look at the death rates. Like here, the death rates are exactly the same as they are every other year. There's like, it hasn't changed. Like there's no difference, but everyone's really scared. And I'm like, well, what are you scared of? Because no more people have died. There's less. It's crazy. Yeah,
I think they were just waiting for the right moment to do something like that. Like they were just waiting for, oh, we'll get this plan lined up. Then when a decent enough flu comes out, we'll lock everyone down and take all their stuff.
Yeah. 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 Just jump on the opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah. They had this in a folder sitting in a shelf for maybe 20 years. And they're like, oh, we get to use that now. Sweet.
Yeah. It definitely feels like that. And they just, like you say, they jump on that opportunity. And sometimes I just think unless people stand up and fight for something, they'll continue and they'll just keep seeing what they can get away with. And I think that's the special thing about this space is like we've got a group of people who have had enough. And they've not just had enough and they're saying, oh, I can't deal with this anymore. Oh, this is bullshit. And having a whinge and a cry about it. They've said, I've had enough. I found something better. It's provably better. I don't want to play your stupid game anymore. You can fuck off over there and we'll do our own thing. And so for somebody to then come and try and take away the freedom of people doing their own thing, which is affecting nobody else, that's very telling for me. That's just like, why are you trying to get involved in this thing unless you see it as a real threat? Why are you trying to control this thing unless you realize that this is better? And if you realize it's better, then why don't you do what's right and allow other people to use it rather than try and cover it up? And it just shows how desperate they're becoming.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be that it doesn't matter that it's Bitcoin to them or how it affects anything. They just want to control everything. You know, maybe Munchin Butts just wants to control Bitcoin just because he wants to. Not that it is any threat, because maybe he doesn't understand that it's a threat. You know, sometimes they could just benignly go about passing laws and making regulations just because it makes them feel special.
Yeah.
There's got to be some of that.
That sounds real. Definitely. Yeah, definitely. There is a sort of weird thing where they just want to control everything they possibly can, and it's just a power trip, isn't it? It's just a, I don't know. It's a weird thing, but it gives me hope. Bitcoin gives me hope, and all of this creativity and all of what's happening is it's just happening at such a, like, incredible rate and with such incredible quality that it's unfolding before our eyes. And I really do think that if we look like in the future, a few hundred years, when people look back at this time, they're going to say, wow, I wish I was involved in that. Like we're incredibly lucky, as difficult as the, you know, the next decade or so might be for us. We're incredibly lucky to be part of this and to see this change, because it's so exciting. I can't think of anything more exciting than what is unfolding before our eyes.
Yeah. When you think about with like ancient cultures or things where you'd have these, they'd have something to be passionate about, be it their god or something, and the art that comes out of it. There's a lot of that going on now in the Bitcoin space, where everyone is super passionate about, you know, freedom or money or overthrowing the system, that the art shows that. It shows the level of passion that everyone has for this. Like the quality of the writing, the articles, it's all amazing.
It is. And do you have some sort of idea of how that goes forward? Like if we do get a kind of Bitcoin standard, if we do get this kind of renaissance, do you see that changing the way that creativity and artists are perceived by the outside world? Because I've always found it irritating how you have like the, I'm doing brackets here, like the intellectuals sort of will look down their nose in some ways at artists and make out like they have an easy life or make out like what they're doing isn't as important. But, you know, I think that art in all its forms is so important. It changes lives. It can save lives, and it can do so much. And I think that for so much of society, they don't really appreciate how important it is. And I always think that maybe if we had a Bitcoin standard, if we had a time where people's value and what they worked for was saved, it wasn't eroded away, they could spend more time to actually think deeper about what they're doing and what they're creating. And we wouldn't have such a plastic, fantastic bullshit society. We'd have something that would stand the test of time and would be beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, when everyone isn't worried about their money getting eroded away and their savings will actually work for them, you know, work weeks will be shorter. Everyone will have more time. And that's when you'll have, you know, some guy that may not have ever made anything current in the current system, he has the chance to pursue a passion and make something. It could be artistic, it could be technical, it could be anything, but you'll have more man hours available to make things. And the artwork that should come out of that should be great, because people will be able to dedicate a significant amount of time. They won't have the worries of the world on them because they'll be financially secure. Artwork will definitely go through a big, big bull market eventually. When everyone's has the time, you know, just not worrying about bullshit.
Yeah. Do you think that's a lot of it is like, we can have some incredible artists, we can have some people with all this creativity within them, but they don't have the time or the energy because they're sat in a cubicle somewhere punching in numbers that don't matter, wasting away their lives until they hope that they'll get their retirement, and then actually that gets snatched from them as well, and instead of that, if they had the time, they would be creating.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people probably don't even have the chance to try a new thing. They don't have the opportunity to just try out a bunch of different things and go, oh shit, this clicks for me, I can make this, I'm actually good at this. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of artists out there that don't know they're an artist, that haven't had the chance to play with designing something on the computer or making something out of wood or sculpting or painting. They just haven't had the chance to try it out or even take a class to learn it so that they find their creativity. Because some people are just crazy freaks and can make stuff. But some of us have to have something we appreciate initially and then go learn how to do it and eventually be able to make it ourselves.
Were you doing anything creative prior to BTC Pins, or was this the first bit of creativity you've done?
I've had some hobbies. I brew beer, make mead. I've done a little bit of woodworking. It's like I've dabbled in things, but never really found a real creative outlet. I think I wish I could have been a musician, those kind of things. I was in a band for a minute, played bass, but that didn't. I wish so shitty at it. But I think, you know, just like that with anything else, if I would have had the opportunity and the time and everything to learn it better, I could have maybe done it. But you know, BTC making pins might be a temporary thing for me. I don't know. It all depends on who I get to work with and keep doing it. I might just find that I like just buying Bitcoin as my hobby, which would be fine.
Yeah, that would be a very, very lucrative hobby. And when you started being creative and you started doing this stuff with BTC Pins, and you know, you said you'd done a few things before, but how did it feel like to actually create something within this space? And you know, I see this as giving back because it's fucking cool, and like, you know, Bitcoiners love this, like. It's something that we can appreciate, and you're giving back to the community in that way, while also having the opportunity to create a business out of it and also work with other people. And like, did it give you a buzz to doing this sort of creativity?
It gave me a buzz when people seemed to want the pins, like when they bought some. Like, that was crazy to me. Like, I made this just because I felt like, fuck it, it'd be fun. I'll make something. And then people are like, oh shit, I want some of those. I can see that a lot, like with the guys like who make like Shamari and, and what's the other one? The Sats Ledger, like just coming up with something crazy that no one ever thought they needed. And then you make it. And then there's like people that like, yeah, I really want that. People, I think people in the space really appreciate someone who makes something, like entrepreneurial spirit. Everyone seems to really, really appreciate it and support it. And that's like been the biggest buzz for me, is just making something and people get excited about it.
Yeah. Cause we don't get to do that in most of our lives. Like, again, I don't want to dox you. We don't have to talk about what you do, in your other work if you don't want to, but, it's rare. It's rare to do something and someone to be like, oh, I love that. Like, you know, to be excited about it. Like, I think so many of people's jobs and so much of what we do as work is kind of dull in comparison to this this industry. And it's just great to be able to do something where you see people genuinely get excited and you can get excited yourself. It's just such a nice thing to see.
Yeah, and that's part of it being a passion project too, is that you're going to have ups and downs. Like, there's some days where like, oh shit, I didn't get any orders. I wonder if people still want pins, but, when they do, it's pretty rad. Yeah. Work wise, I'm just a 9-to-5 desk jockey that, yeah, it's just to pay the bills. But if I could make pins somehow full time, that'd be amazing. Be great.
I think it's going to come. Like, I still think that we're all very early. Like, anyone who is not invested in this, just like they've bought Bitcoin and they're invested, but they're invested with their heart and they're invested with their soul and they're invested with where they see this future going. And they really have an understanding for it. I think that that's very early, and that there are so many different businesses that can be built around this. And it's a completely new ecosystem. It's a completely new world, basically. And I think there's going to be so much opportunity for anyone who is here now and seeing how these trends move and just following their heart and designing things that they love. I really do think that these desk jobs and these 9-to-5s, I do one as well, and I fucking hate it. It's boring as hell, but, you know, you've got to pay the bills somehow. But it will change, and I really do believe that. I think that we're going to all be able to do what we love and create within this space.
Yeah, everyone's going to be able to make something. You know, hopefully even the people that get filthy rich off of Bitcoin will still contribute somehow, make something, write something, do a podcast. Like, as many podcasts as there are that are amazing, I wish there were a billion more podcasts than there already are. just because it's, I think it's really helpful. You know, I'll probably never do a podcast on my own, but I could see how it helps you if you have the temperament for it to really hash out your own ideas by talking to other people about Bitcoin. Like, it helps you shape your own understanding. And eventually everyone's going to be able to get off their 9-to-5. There'll be a few still left. Maybe there'll be, you know, 10-to-2 jobs. People will be complaining about their 10-to-2. but everyone else, you're going to be, you know, creating, and, you know, we're going to have more people doing, you know, like old school kind of professions. Like, oh, I'm a butcher. My family's been a butcher for 10 years or 10 generations because we have Bitcoin, so we don't have to work hard, so we can make the thing that we love. And everything, like the quality of everything, is going to be better, because it's not just about art. It's about putting passion into what you already, into what you're making. So we're going to have better everything, better meat, better beer. Everyone's going to love making beer because they're going to have the time, and there's going to be enough people who can drink it because they can go out again.
Tell me about this meat and this beer, because I'm, like I said, I've looked through your Twitter and these cuts look incredible. It's making me hungry just looking at them.
Those were my 20K and my 15K Bitcoin price celebration steaks that I picked up. For 15K, I went and bought a tomahawk ribeye. It was like 3 pounds. It was huge. I bought a bunch of oak and just grilled it over that. It was delicious. And then for 20K this week, well, I might have to get a 25K steak this weekend. I got a picanha, which is the sirloin cap. It's a traditionally like Brazilian style of steak. You cut it up, slice it up, and put it on skewers and grill it. Oh man, it was so good.
That's the picture I'm looking at now, and I'm actually drooling looking at this. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a Wagyu picanha. It was so good.
Wagyu is like where they massage the cow and feed it beer or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got like a ton of marbling in the fat, so it just kind of melts when you eat it. It's one of the best steaks I've ever had.
So how are you going to, first of all, how are you going to outdo this at 25K? Like, what's that steak going to look like? And then what's the 100K steak? What's the 250K steak? And what the fuck are you doing at a million? Like, what are you doing?
I'm just going to buy a cow and kind of chew on it.
Chew on its hooves.
Yep. No, actually a few Bitcoiners and I, we ordered a half a cow that we should be getting in March that we got from a local butcher. So you put down a deposit and then they butcher it and they ask you, what steaks do you want from your half of a cow? So we get to fill out this giant list of all the different cuts that we want, and then they seal it up and send it over after they age it. That one's going to be amazing. That might be my 50K steak in March. Good.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Well, look, if you ever find yourself in London or anywhere near, you'll have to give me a shout. We'll go steak tasting for the day. That sounds like a good day.
That sounds awesome. Go drink some bitters and have some steak.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. All for that. That sounds great.
Well, are you going to come to LA for Bitcoin 2021?
I'd like to, yeah. I've still not been to a proper Bitcoin meetup. So I'm in like a big one. I'm going tomorrow with Self-Banked. We've got a group of us going, breaking lockdowns, because fuck the lockdowns. but not to a big Bitcoin meetup. So yeah, I'd love to go there. What month is it in?
I think it's the end of April, the very, very end.
Okay. Yeah, that might be possible. Well, if I do, I'll definitely give you a shout. I assume you're going.
I will be there. I'm pretty close to probably where they're having it. And there's a huge, there's a couple pretty large Bitcoin meetup groups that are here, like Orange County and LA. So we'll be in force at the conference. I'll be there with my pins. I'm not going to be selling there, but I'll probably have some in my backpack to kind of on the lowdown sell, but we'll see. But I'm mainly going to go there just to hear all the talks and listen to everything.
Hmm. Are you part of the OC meetup, like Brian Harrington and that lot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had him on my show a while ago, and it sounded great. Like, I love that you guys all just get to meet up and you're getting all these local businesses involved and all of that stuff. I think that's awesome. It's such a cool way to like spread the message and get people involved.
Yeah, Brian's really great. I met him in August, I think. And then they were doing a meetup every week at a deli that just did not give a shit about lockdowns. That I appreciate. I was there this last Thursday just to hang out. But yeah, that group is really cool. They all are really passionate about Bitcoin circular economy. They've onboarded some businesses that take Lightning, and it's a really, really good group to be in. I appreciate them a lot for, you know, taking me in this year.
Yeah, it's something special about spending time in person with other Bitcoiners and like just being able to shoot the shit, have a couple of drinks and talk about a revolution. It's a special time.
Yeah, there's no one else I'd rather do it with.
Yeah, well, look, if I do come out, I would definitely give you a shout, and if any of the other 21ism boys as well, maybe we'll have to do a group outing or something like that. That would be very cool.
That would be very awesome. Yeah, we'd be glad to take you guys out.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, listen, I don't want to take your whole day. I know that you're with your family. I know that you've started to have your drinks now because it's midday and you need to do some celebrating for
my new beers.
Yeah, exactly. You need to do some celebrating for all-time highs. And yeah, I just wanted to say,
$5K while we were here?
Let's have a look. Let's just check.
Up 24-1.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to stack this evening and see if I can push that up.
Yeah, it's all on you, dude.
Yeah, it's all on me. If we both do it together, we'll send it. Yeah. We'll send it. So, yeah, but it's been incredible getting to chat to you. And thanks again for working with us and to send those pins. Like I say, I can't wait to get my hands on them. And
yeah, I hope you like them. They're awesome.
Well, I've had lots of photos from every angle. And unless the camera is lying to me, they're fucking brilliant. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks again for coming on, and I hope we get to meet in person. I hope we get to share a steak and some whiskeys or beers, and yeah, both. Thanks for everything you're doing. Both. And yeah, enjoy your Christmas time and celebrating, and I hope at the table somewhere there is someone who has taken the piss out of you and called you stupid and that you practiced your smug face for that meal.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna wear a sailor mask. It'll be awesome.
Excellent. All right, mate. Well, thanks again. And thank you from everyone at 21ism. We love what you're doing.
Cheers, guys. See you soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.